Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network. Welcome to Prosperity for God's People, brought to you by ChristianTraders.com, the Internet's fastest growing Christian investment community, created just for you, the Christian investor.
Everybody's happy.
Striving for excellence in Christian talk radio, excellence in the world financial markets, and most of all, excellence in your personal walk with God.
Broadcasting live
from the CFRN studios in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona.
Good afternoon, friends, and welcome back. Today is Tuesday, 15th day of March, 2011, the Ides of March. Well, you know what's happened. The Dow currently down 185 points, well off the low. S&P down 20, again, well off the low, and the comp off about 40. And the markets are trying to climb up out of here, climb this wall of worry. Things in Japan continue to worsen. We have a Fed announcement this afternoon. And here we are trading 1272.5 on the S&P E-mini. Let's have a quick look at the charts. Let's see where we're at and where we've been in the last 24 hours. Good morning, Michael. Or good afternoon.
Morning, 12. Right. Good afternoon, 1205. Good afternoon.
Okay, here is the opening range on Sunday night. There's Friday's close. We open Sunday night. We have dynamic resistance. We spend a good portion of yesterday just kind of, and Sunday night, just doing this little back and forth action at the 1294/1295 weekly trading zone. We then drop during the morning session down to the 1285/1286 weekly zone. We then rally back up yesterday afternoon to the 94/95 weekly trading zone right there. And then the markets close and there's no buyers to support this thing. Asia opens and the bottom falls out. So from where we closed yesterday, up here, 1299 and change, we opened this morning down around 1260, some 30 points lower. So this is with the Globex removed. We gapped lower better than 30 points this morning, and then we run down off the open an additional about 14 points. Looks like, not quite. We call it 1257. As you can see here, the market has worked hard to pull up out of there, to turn this thing around. We had traded down through dynamic support on the hourly chart last night. We rallied up to the 69.70 weekly zone. Now, this is an hourly chart. Each candle represents 1 hour. And then the next hour from that, we see how we pulled up into the zone here. Okay. Right here. We drop all the way to 12.51. So we had a 20-point drop in 1 hour right here. That signaled the bottom below 12.51. And then the market has slowly, you know, attempting to climb its way out of there. And we have the potential this hour to close above the 69.70 weekly trading zone. That's as high as we could get on the overnight. We're trying to close above it. If we can close above it, that will be very bullish. If we've got 23 minutes before this candle closes, if we're unable to close above it, if we get back below it, then we're going to see more of the same throughout the afternoon. If we go look at a 30-minute chart for the ES, yesterday afternoon, as we closed out the session, we were looking for dynamic resistance to print. Printed here, and then it fell. We found dynamic support at midnight at 12.56 and a quarter. Price ran to the 69.70 weekly zone, pulled back into the dynamic support. The dynamic support held. I mean, we spiked it a little bit here. It's very clear, very easy to see that on each ensuing pullback, that area held, the 56 and a quarter. And now we've pushed higher. This, on a 30-minute chart, we're only 8 minutes into this candle, but we're well above the 12.70 weekly trading zone. We're trading 73 and a quarter. So that's where we're at. That's what's happened. That's what's transpired. I mean, you can't avoid what's happening in the world. Turn on the radio. Turn on the TV. Open up your web browser. It's everywhere, and with the nuclear aspect of it all, and the continuing aftershocks and the fresh quake, we're going to be going through a period of uncertainty. There'll be moments of clarity, and then there'll be moments of confusion. Someone on the show yesterday, Davis, I think it was, brought up that just the cleanup alone, forget the rebuilding and all of that that has to take place in Japan, but just cleaning up the mess once it's over. And that's really what's, you know, that's the wall of worry the market's trying to climb. That's what's hanging over the market's head right now, is that it's not over. This is an ongoing crisis. Couple that with Libya, and, you know, it's a world of woe. Michael, what do you want to add to that? Michael?
I was talking.
Couldn't hear you.
Sorry. I was saying, well, this not a lot to add to it. You know, the instability by the Japanese crisis that's going on right now, that's, you know, that's going to go on and on. You know, the rebuilding and all that, and the cleanup is, I mean, that's going to be a huge effort on its own, but the problem is still unstable over there. You know, they still have reactors that could explode, and, you know, I don't think they've contained the problem yet. I just think, you know, who knows where it's going to put the market in the next few days here. It's good to see that we got above the weekly trading zone here a little bit, from a market perspective, that we had bounced off of those three times.
You know, we still have one zone below us, 44.45. And the fact that we didn't take that out that we were able to hold above that. The market was able to turn, and, you know, looks to have put in a fairly convincing bottom here. So this may be the beginning of a substantial move up. But again, lots of uncertainty over the coming days. So we'll just have to see how it all plays out.
Yeah, I think.
Bert, good morning. How are you today, or good afternoon? Hey, Bert's been pretty busy today answering phones, lots of margin calls in the overnight, etc. So I know he's in the room, but he's probably on the phone right now.
Yes. Yeah, I imagine he's probably a little bit busy right here. yeah, he said this morning he had to deal with... he was in defensive mode, is what he had said. Yeah, we've had incredible range in the ES today. Given that it's an FOMC day, you know, usually right about now the market's died off. You know, earlier I was looking at the 7 minute volume on the 7 minute chart, and we were in a steady decline right up until about 11:52, and it just started to pick up here. The volume started to pick up again.
There you go, Bert. Now you're unmuted.
All right.
Bert typed in, "I'm talking," but there you are. All right.
Well, we settled down a little bit, that's for sure, and maybe this action is telling us maybe it was an overreaction to obviously the Asian markets, but you know, are we out of the woods yet? I'm not, you know, quite sure of that. Like you pointed out, Dwayne, it looks like we have a nice double bottom in place. I'm sure everyone who came to the game a little bit late and tried to short on the opening are probably running for cover right about now, which is causing this short covering rally. And then maybe we get up to 1377, 1379, and maybe sell off from that level. If that's the route we're taking here
you
today.
You mean 1277?
Yeah, 77 to 79 overhead.
Okay. And what's significant about that area?
Let me go to my chart. Daily low set back a couple days ago was 1278.5. So I would look maybe for a revisit to that low. And I'm on a daily. You might even see it on an hourly too.
How far back?
You on Globex?
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. 3 days ago?
Friday?
Yeah.
I got a low of 1280 on Friday. 79.75.
All right, so 77.79.
Okay.
Just shy of that, I would kind of earmark as maybe as a potential resistance level if you're probing the short side. You know, personally, I always have a hard time selling down so much or buying when we have a large gap opening. So personally, I like to wait for kickback, try to sell into it. That's what we're going to do.
What's the consensus for the Fed announcement today? Nothing?
I think the scuttle is absolutely.
Yeah, what's listed on my thing is plus 0.25, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I think if that's the case, we would you'd see the bonds off a little bit, and the notes off. We're not seeing that. I think actually just the Japan and Asian thing is just taking center stage.
Yep, I think so.
Yeah, as well as should. I mean, that's going to be a driving factor in these markets for quite some time to come.
Yeah, true.
I mean, until the uncertainty passes, because we just don't know what the coming days and weeks hold. Because there'll be continuing aftershocks,
Yeah, I don't think that's the end of it.
Headlines are flashing, is now the time to buy Japan. Huh? Maybe it is. It is. Well, they were down, 10% at one point overnight?
Yeah.
And I posted on the blog, they were down 8%, but then I think ultimately they were down 10%.
Yeah. I mean, I know Topix and some of the other exchanges had to put some limits in. They were, had to put a halt to it a little bit.
All right, let's head out to the studios in Las Vegas and see what Mr. West has to say.
Thank you, Artemis. Good morning, Michael Bork.
Good morning, David.
Ladies and gentlemen,
how are you?
David Williams, PageTrader.com. How are you?
Thank you. I'm very good. And Bert, how are you?
Good. I'm good, thanks.
Good. The world is just falling apart piece by piece, and I'd like to invite all of you over to my house where I've bought 90 days of food so that we can all eat when it's not possible to eat at restaurants and at the local supermarket any longer. So I can only have a limited number of people at my house because I only have 90 days worth of food there. But Michael, you're invited as well. I know you have your own spaceship in the backyard, but I don't think you have it loaded up with 90 days of nitrogen-packed food like I do.
No, I do not. I do not. Good to hear.
And some of the food is loaded. My spaceship is loaded, and it is a lot of it is really good. The food comes with all kinds of accoutrements like condiments, Tabasco, napkins, matches, a little heater for it. Each pack has all that stuff in it. It's really amazing. They give you everything you need to heat up the food, and it's spaghetti, and it's got all kinds of different meals. So,
have you eaten one of these?
No, I haven't eaten one yet.
You should eat one just to see, what it tastes like.
Oh, absolutely. I have a feeling we'll all be eating some of these pretty soon, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been an amazing period. I do want to say for the record, I'm 53 years old. This is probably the biggest thing, the thing that's in Japan, that I'll ever see in my lifetime. This is just beyond any scope that I can imagine. It's literally now that Tokyo has had an earthquake on top of all the other, it just keeps growing. And it's just an amazing series of events. A lot of time had to pass. A lot of things had to get in line for all of this to happen. And that's just how the nature of things are, that happens sometimes. And, of course, I just want to say for the record, the conspiracy theorists are already out there that this whole earthquake, it doesn't matter what happens, if you're a conspiracy theorist, you are going to figure out a way to make it a conspiracy, that the United States government has devices that can trigger these types of earthquakes, and they pointed it at this island for various reasons, and on and on and on and on and on.
Gosh, I haven't even heard
those. Yeah, just go type in conspiracy for Japanese, disaster. You'll see it there. So it's already starting. One other thing I do want to mention, that religion is in many ways a terrible thing. And I'll tell you why. Because man is involved in religion. That's why it's a terrible thing.
Yeah.
What
it means, return to bondage. I mean, I'll just throw that out there.
What's that?
The word religion, it means return to bondage.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I didn't know that.
Guys, this is the Christian Financial Radio Network, but I am anti-religion, so let me just throw
that
out there and confuse everybody real good.
But, you know, this happened to Japan, but if this same event, something of this scale, had happened anywhere in America, you would have seen virtually every religious leader standing up and saying that this was the punishment of God. Because what's happening over there is effectively Sodom and Gomorrah right in front of us. You know, God pointed his finger and everything that you can think of bad happening, oil fires, earthquakes, tsunamis, nuclear power plant failures, tens of thousands of people are going to end up being dead in this or missing, you know, on and on. It's like Sodom and Gomorrah. If any of that would have happened here in the United States, you would have had every religious leader standing up, or not every, but a lot of them, screaming about how this is the punishment from God.
Well, when Katrina hit New Orleans, I mean, they said, well, we warned you guys about Mardi Gras.
Right. And so you're not seeing that right now, however, with Japan, because Japan is strangely antiseptic in a way when it comes to religious matters, even though they have the Buddha and they have their own religion. And I'm just waiting for the first one to pop up, for the first religious guy to stand up and say, this is because something about Japan, because they don't believe in the regular God, they believe in Buddha, or whatever their thing is. I'm waiting to see what they do. But it's interesting that it hasn't, because my belief is, had this happened in the United States, you would have had hell and fire brimstone guys getting up, screaming in the streets, ain't it the truth?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this would have just been punishment for gays, punishment for this, punishment for that. You know, anyway, it's just interesting because the psychology, when something this tragic happens, it brings out the best and the worst in people. And often in religion, it brings out the very worst.
I agree.
Because these ministers don't know anything, and yet they're going to get up and claim that this is a deity that they have no direct contact with, making decisions to kill millions of people and all that stuff. And so anyway, Japan is a Sodom and Gomorrah type of situation, and I just found it interesting that just so far, because of where it is, we haven't seen that yet, but you know, if it would have happened here, we would have been seeing all those guys, all the big names would have been up telling us why.
I'm sure that wing nut that was going to do the public burning of the Quran, I'm sure he has some opinion on this. I don't know if they let him speak publicly anymore. You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do.
I don't know the guy's name, but I mean, that was just... I'm no Quran fan, but I mean, his whole mean-spirited, I mean, that's just so, I don't know, un-Christian. They finally stopped the guy, or he backed down, or however it unfolded.
Anyway, so it's an amazing series of events. You know, in order for the plates and for the earthquake to happen, the tectonic movement and all that, for that may have required thousands of years to get to this point. We don't know. I mean, it's the whole science of how that works and how it, where the tension builds up and all that stuff. It's enormously complicated, and it could have taken, you know, just, this is like a Titanic where everything had to be in place in a certain way for all of this to be able to happen all at once, you know, including the nuclear stuff. And, you know, they've had, you know, 450, you know, not even aftershocks, additional earthquakes that have happened. So it's an amazing series of events. You don't see it every, you know, rarely do you see it. And it may for me, maybe the only time in my lifetime that something this tragic is going to have, you know, happen.
You know, I hadn't even really given it much thought, David, but I at the end of the show yesterday, I touched on it, and I told people, I said, don't ever, you know, please don't be that. If you consider yourself a Christian, don't be that Christian who stands in judgment of a godless nation, blah, blah, blah. I actually did say that yesterday, but I hadn't given it too much serious thought. But because you brought it up, I just Googled religious view on Japan tragedy. And right to the top pops a YouTube video. I'm not going to play it. Christian praises God for tragedy in Japan.
Yeah, this is what I was talking about. This is the worst in humanity right there. And if you see that, if we end up seeing it here, because these guys are also sensitive to their image. They don't want to. These people are suffering already, and so if they are going to bring it up, they're going to bring it up later because they know that the public would go against them. But I despise with passion when people do that and claim that they know, you know, why an event happened when they don't know even how they lift their left arm up, but they know what God is doing with these people. You know what I'm saying? They don't even know how they're able to have the power to get up and move around. They can't explain one centimeter of that, but they're going to tell us, you know, why these people, why this happened. So it's just it's a miserable side of human nature, and it's a miserable side of religion, to be quite frank with you, that they have to do that. And there's a great deal of aggrandizement, or whatever the word is, where they're in pointing the finger, they're simultaneously saying, I'm not that way, or we're not that way. These people are being punished. It's very difficult to accuse or to blame somebody for their actions without you feeling superior. So there's the superiority in it, which, of course, in the Bible was spoken about with as much heat and as much fire, but from Jesus himself, when he told people not to pray in the streets to be seen of men.
Yep.
Because that is your reward. That's all you're going to get, is to be seen of men.
You got paid.
Okay. So, yeah, that's your payment right there. And these people are doing the same thing. If you believe that, Mr. Pastor, Mr. Preacher, why can't you keep it to yourself? Why do you have to stand up when you don't know it as a fact? Why do you have to stand up and do that? And why can't you keep it to themselves yourself? Because they want to feel superior. They want to have their flock feel superior, whatever. It's a very, very bad bordering, honestly, on evil for me when people when these people do that. And again, had it happened in America, you would have seen it on day one. These guys would have popped up out of nowhere. But
now the guys with the billboards, the guys with the billboards that we talked about the other day, calling for the end of the world on May 21st, I think it is. Now, feather in their cap, you know, they're all sitting around smiling at each other, going, "Mm-hmm, told you. Here it comes." So, anyway.
Yeah. Well. I've already told you, and I've made my prediction, they're going to be completely wrong on both dates, May 21st and October 21st.
Yeah,
let my forecast stand as it is today. Okay? Not only wrong, but dead wrong. Completely, plainly, brutally wrong. And you'll see a celebration. The other part of my forecast is when both dates don't happen, you'll see them celebrating. We'll see how that plays out. That's my forecast for that.
I'm going to go along the world with you.
Yeah, I'm going to go along the world right now.
Sure, Robin, we can talk about the markets. What would you like to talk about?
We're going to get to the markets real quick here, but the news is important and there's a lot going on here. So let's take a quick look at the markets. If you want, we can start with the S&P. Today's market, by gapping down, has confirmed the forecast that we made in the Sunday night report that the market would need to go lower in order to make this week the on-time week for a weekly bottom in the S&P 500. And we've done that. We broke to new lows here. And so our forecast, the initial part of the forecast, is underway now by breaking to new lows. That's the earliest confirmation that this week will mark an important bottom for a multi-week advance off of these lows. And we'll give calculations for forecasts for higher prices, et cetera, later. But today's market has declined sharply and has reversed off of the 1256 for us, 1256 target. They went about a point lower than that, and they're attempting higher prices now. Now, that's number one. Number two, since late January, I mean, we're in mid-March right now, we've been forecasting in our report that the first larger decline off of the February, we forecast that February, the first quarter of this year, was going to be a top, but that February was a likely month for the top inside that quarter. So February did mark the top, and we mentioned and have said so since late January that the initial decline would be approximately 115 points off of that high. Now, we haven't done 115 points on the downside yet, but under normal conditions, the market's going to attempt that movement down. So if we were to take the, what was the high that we made in February here? I don't have it right in front
February,
of me. I'm sorry.
Let me
the,
just backing on up. Bert, are you
I
there?
Thought it was 43. I'm showing 37.75, but that's because we're in the June contract. So that probably has something to do with it. So
hey, Bert, are you there?
Let's just take 13.30.
Yeah, March was 13.43.
He's reaching back to February.
So that would bring
though.
Us. Okay, so that's right. So say 40. So okay, thank you, Bert. 13.43 minus, let's just say 114 or so. That would bring us down to about 12.29 to 12.30, roughly. We've gone down to 12.51 so far. Now, there's a very important reason in our work. This is purely technical, and I mentioned to you yesterday that some news would have to happen, obviously, or at some one of these times we're talking, in order to make this happen. This is obviously the news that would cause the break. We didn't forecast, and we don't forecast news, but the fact is that the markets are in a strange way, but in a very believable way, a kind of antenna that picks up all of the various vibrations and all kinds of things going on in the world and records it. And those can be used to make forecasts for big events to happen or bigger moves to happen. And so the news obviously is related to Japan and this event that took place. And the market is, under normal conditions, before this is all done, is going to try to complete somewhere between 112 to 115 points on the downside under normal conditions. If they're not able to do that, that doesn't mean it has to happen right away in this month. You know, it's the move has begun and you can have a multi-month decline. But that's what we've been forecasting since late January in the longer term section of the report. And the reason for it and why it's 115 has to do with spatial relationship forecasting, and that if we were correct, which now it is, but at the time it was basically, if the decline starts in February, we're looking for, you know, the 115 points. It did start in February, and so that's what we're looking for. We're looking for that to complete. Even if we do have a bounce and a weekly bottom and all that stuff, we are still looking for a test or an attempt at those types of levels. So this brings in the volatility that we need in the markets as well. I mean, this is obviously, you know, bad news sometimes has to happen in order for you to get the volatility. But good news causes volatility as well. This is a market that under other time periods, something like this would have caused it to crash, you know, 1,000 Dow points. Something like this event under different conditions would have been much, much bigger on the downside. Today it's really relatively tame. We're down 17 points right now. It's been relatively tame considering everything that's been going on. This market has been rallying on every kind of bad news. The world, for those of you that aren't aware, is falling apart at the seams. I mean, you can name, you know, 200 different things that are going on that are all bad. And yet the market's been advancing for 23 months across that bad news.
Well, yeah, I mean, we saw a bigger sell-off on the Banque Générale rogue trader back on Martin Luther King Day a few years ago. The Dow opened down 500 points that day, as I recall. And this and this is far worse. I mean, yeah, a few billion dollars vanished, but we're talking about human lives here. I mean, this is now. Rob's got a question, and it's a question that comes up often. Well, not often. Yeah, okay.
How is it that I look so much like James West in that suit on your website?
Okay, that's part two.
And the answer is, it's just natural. I, you know, something that I just, it's a gift. Go
you
ahead,
You use
please.
The term a lot under normal conditions. And so Rob's question is, could you try to help us understand what normal conditions are, and how do we know
if we
have normal conditions?
It's a good question.
Okay.
The reason I use that term is because it's normal regarding my approach to the markets, what I normally see. It's not normal for the market per se. It's normal within the confines of my approach to the market, which primarily is spatial relationship forecasting. So because I know what normal is within that context, I can say that normally, you know, late yesterday, as an example, we had that hourly roadmap that we gave out on your program, that the market would firm up at 1281 and it would advance 9 points. That's what normally would happen. The market did firm up at 1281, and it advanced 9 points.
Mm-hmm.
Went a little higher than 9 points, but that was the normal thing to have happen. So since I know what normal is with spatial relationship, I also can know what not normal is. Now, when not normal happens, that means bigger forces are at work, and most likely it really just means, to be honest, that I don't know it all. It means that something that I don't understand, if we're looking at the market perfectly technically, that I could have known if I understood, I don't know, and so I end up calling it not normal. So it's really only a phrase that means within the given range of my understanding, or a better word, within the given limits of my understanding, this is what would normally happen. So it really is an expose, in a sense, on how little I know about the markets, because, to be honest, that's exactly what I'm telling you. Within the limits of what I know, this is what I would normally expect, and quite often it can work out beautifully. But the markets are much bigger than my knowledge or any individual's knowledge of what they're going to do, because they're as big as life, and so it's very difficult to take it all in.
So you're really referring to the landscape of your own mind and not the market at large.
That's right. That's correct. So normal behavior for me is within the context of what I understand with how the market should act inside of those limits regarding spatial relationship forecasting and my any other tools that I use. Normal's been, you know, normal behavior is what I make my living off of.
Gotcha.
So I'm looking for normal behavior, normal meaning things I understand and setups that I understand, et cetera. And that's why for many years on this program, when we first started, I was really going on and on about trade what it is you understand.
Mm-hmm.
Trade the part of the market you understand, because that's how I got ahead. I try to trade what it is I understand, not what I thought I understood or wish I understood or hope to understand. I'm trading the parts that I actually do understand.
Are you still on
and
the hunt?
That's worked well for me. Go ahead.
Are you still on the hunt, David?
For new market discovery, or
when something transpires that does not fall under normal conditions, or something that you don't already understand, are you driven at this point? Are you driven to try to understand it, or are you just content, or do you know enough now that you know? Okay, I've got this body of knowledge. I can make money. I can be profitable with what I have. I'm okay with that.
You know, the truth is that I go through phases where in my younger days I was much more aggressive with chasing everything that the market did. Now I am much more content to, unless I'm driven to. Sometimes there are periods where I really will say, "Now, come on, now what is this all about?" And I'll really take some time to really look at it and think about it and try to find something new. Last really big discovery for me was now a year ago, March of last year, the hourly roadmap. Just because there's a discovery, that's the evidence that you've been looking for something, but often you can come up with something and it doesn't show up as a whole new technique. It just adds to some of your already existing understanding. But honestly, I go through phases where I will work much harder on something that I don't understand, or there's sometimes I'll just let it go, like you said. You know, I don't understand that piece, and I'm just going to wait for the piece I do understand. I'm not going to bother with it. But if I had the same drive that I've always had, I don't have the same drive that I've always had. I've dipped off a little bit, but sometimes it does get very intense and focused again. And recently, just as an example, with the new forecasting that we're doing on gold and crude and the euro and these things, I had to really go into those and really spend some time. And it was a bit of a burn, to be honest with you. I've spent several weekends studying those markets so that we could do these forecasts on those markets. And that has helped me. That's actually kind of sharpened my pen a little bit, because, you know, things kind of dull up over the years. So, yeah, I do. I'm not as intense about it as I used to be, but there are moments and periods of time where I'll go in and look at something. And I think that's probably the most recent thing I can say I've done, is by looking at those markets, trying to experiment with them and figure out how they work as opposed to different markets. That was a good little push for me. But there are definitely times when there's something big. this move is fully normal for me. This decline fits in because we're forecasting a weekly bottom, and they needed to go lower. So we talked about this yesterday a little bit. We needed to make break to a new low because, you know, this is the on-time week for the bottom. So this fits in the category, but there's plenty of times where it doesn't fit that I either do look into it, and sometimes, depending on, you know, how burned out I am, and it is a burn. I mean, researching is a burn. It takes time. It takes energy. You go down blind alleys. You study stuff, and then you realize, okay, that's nothing there, and you have to bang around. But the other side of it is that it's enormously satisfying to find something. It's really a special feeling to go, wow, I mean, is that really the deal? And then you go in there, and there it is. You know, yeah, that's how it works. There's something new that you can add. So that could be something that can really add to your income. You know, you learn something new, and you can add to your income. The people, take it for what it's worth, the people that are coming to this Reflected Wave seminar are going to learn something completely new. And they're going to add that to their tools, and they're going to be able now to do a bunch of things they weren't able to do before. That's what it's like to find something. You find something new, you come up with all kinds of energy and ideas to use it. Not everybody is suited to research. It's, everybody has their own thing, you know, and some people are much better at taking research that someone else did and using it to trade. There's people that can trade my work much better than I do. And there's people who can research better than I do. And so everyone's got their own thing that they're into. I always encourage people, especially with the technical traders, to study the markets and to try to think outside the box. Because I got news for you. Wherever logic leads, everyone's already been there. So you have to be willing to break with what you think is logic and play with ideas that don't necessarily make sense to you now. If you make a discovery, they may make all kinds of new sense to you once you make that discovery. But if you're going to just do the logical, then you're just going over ground that everyone else has gone over, because people naturally go to what is logical. And that's natural. There's nothing wrong with that. But the real discoveries are most often made where logic doesn't run. Where you have to at least for temporarily, you have to have a break with logic, and you have to be willing to take a leap. And that leap is part of these blind alleys that you go down to study things and see where things are going. So
George asks,
good explanation to his answer.
Do you believe that the bottom is in for the week? Do you think this?
I don't have any forecast yet for. Okay. I'm going to. I rather than say yes or no to it, since I don't have a forecast for it yet, I don't. I will probably have one, but I haven't. I don't have one today.
Okay.
I probably will have one for the numbers on the downside, etc. But they did a nice big move down. This solves. If you put up a weekly chart, this really does solve a big part of the need for the. Forecast to be complete for a weekly bottom. This is the on-time week. So adding to that, though, even if we do have the bounce, we would expect the market to attempt to complete the full 115 that we talked about on the downside. That's again, here we hear that phrase, that's the normal behavior for the market. So for them to do that. So I hope that's helpful.
I'm going to put up a weekly here.
Yeah, go ahead.
If it will cooperate. Not that sort of cooperation. Let's just ignore the drawings, folks. Pay no attention. Let's try to get it. Okay. All right.
Now,
right,
as you're doing
you,
that, the market
yeah.
is reacting. It attempted to touch 1277, which is an important level in our support and resistance panel on this swing high that they just made. They weren't quite able to get up there, and this reaction is what we would normally expect off of a test of that. So this means that the market is a little bit weak, and that doesn't surprise me. It missed it by a point and a quarter. That tells us that they're not going to be able to hit that number, and that the market is still under quite a bit of selling pressure because, again, the normal thing is they would have been able to touch that. They weren't able to. And So that gives us information. In a way, you can use what normally happens, and you can get information from when that doesn't happen. You can actually get information from that to put a trade together or to not take a trade. Sometimes, and Dwayne has made this point before, which I think is a really good point, sometimes information does nothing more than tell you to not take a trade, as opposed to what everybody's looking for is how can I get in, how can I trade, what can I do. And I've said this so many times, I never, my very best of work is to never come to the office with the idea of making any money at all. Because as soon as I put that idea out in front of me, I'm in a completely different place than somebody who's just relaxed and waiting to see what he understands. The whole thing about wanting to make money actually is a problem for many traders. It's not a problem because that motivates you. Money can motivate you. But the problem is it also takes away a lot of your natural sense of relaxed observation, where you're not trying to turn things from what they actually are into something that you want them to be. And that relaxed observation is, for me, is very necessary to be able to make the forecast that we make and to be able to actually trade off of them successfully. So I did it for many, many years, like everybody. You know, you want to make a few grand a day or whatever it is that you're trying to do. But in reality, that has been a problem that I finally solved by getting past the idea that money was my motivation. And so money is still my motivation, but it's not my motivation when I'm looking at the markets and reading them. I'm actually trading more by exception, in my own account anyway, more by exception than by rule. It's, in other words, I'm not here to trade. I'm here to study the markets, to watch the markets, etc. And then if something extraordinary comes up that they're just handing it to you, then I'll take that. But I'm not looking at the market and saying, gosh, where's my next trade going to come from? I'm just looking for setups. I'm relaxed. I'm not feeling like money is the issue, because that's the problem. That was my problem, and I've seen it with other traders as well. It may not be your particular problem, but that was my problem, that money has actually interfered with my – it's good for motivation, but it's bad for clarity. It's bad for trying to really see the setups. I really like to be very relaxed and literally, it's not, you know, carefree, just not even worried about whether I trade today or not, and just wait for something to show up. And when the something shows up, this is why I love markets, is because something does show up. If you just wait, it will show up. And I know Bert tells his customers the same thing, is, you know, wait, hold off, let's take a look, let's see what the market can do. Sometimes by doing that, I will miss the initial part of the move. I did on that last euro move that we had on the upside, the forecast, but it ended up being a very good trade anyway. And I do want to say this again. Remember this. This is an interesting thing. People think in terms of risk when they think in terms of how far their stop is from where they got in. So if, let's say, the S&P is at, you know, 1250 and your stop is at 1245. Okay, so we have a 5-point risk. What most people do is they say my risk is 5 points. And that's true in a very specific way, because if the market goes down and stops you out, you will have lost 5 points. So your risk is 5 points. But that isn't the total picture. That is not the total picture, because your risk, you could possibly double your static risk. That's what I call that. The static risk is how much you actually are risking, irregardless of everything else. Your static risk is 5 points. If the probabilities of your trade, having set it up, having watched the market with relaxed observation, found the spot, found the setups, you know, put your work together, used your tools, if probabilities are very, very high that you're correct, and you've done these things, and therefore the probabilities are very high, your risk statically is 5 points, but the odds of you losing that 5 points is extremely small. So here's an interesting dilemma. You can have a much larger static risk in a position, but an enormously higher probability that the trade is going to work. What would you rather have? Would you rather have a smaller static risk, but a higher probability that you will get stopped out? Or would you be able to live with a larger static risk, but the probabilities are so far in your favor that you would take that static risk because the probabilities are going to send the trade right up to your target, and you're going to be fine. So me, I like the idea that the probabilities are very high in my favor, and I'm willing to take whatever static risk I need to, because if the probabilities are there, that trumps static risk every time. High probability will trump static risk. So I don't worry that if I have to put on a trade, I risked half of what we made in the euro trade that we gave out on your program here for a $2.25 move or whatever it was in the euro, which is a big, decent sized move. I had to risk half that because I got in the silly thing so late. But the odds that I was correct had been so triple confirmed that the probabilities of being right completely trumped the static risk. So, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It does.
I hope so. That's kind of where I live in the trading world. I want to go with the high probability. So I'm willing to allow for the market to maybe take some away. And once in a while, it doesn't take it away, and I can get right in at a really critical point and really have a, you know, that's a home run type of trade where you've got it all going for you. You've got low static risk and you've got super high probability. And that happens from time to time. You know, you get these trades where that's really exactly what sets up. And that's what makes this fun. If they don't all have to be that way, they just have to be high probability. That's really what you're looking for. Your dollar amount that you risk is probably dramatically less important than it is, dramatically less important in my world, than the probability of the trade being right. So you want to work on your probabilities, and you can only take that so far as well, because if you wait too long, then there's very, very little left in the trade, and actually the probabilities don't favor you anymore like they did earlier, because the market might miss its target by a little bit, and you know, it can get tricky at that point. So there's kind of a sweet spot between probability and static risk that you can work with, and that's why I kind of like these bigger trades that we've been doing in these other markets, because there's enough room in there for us to really sort of work with static risk and probability and really put something together that's easy to hold, even if it's an overnight position and all that stuff. So I hope that makes some sense.
Greg just commented that on the euro here, we had 100 point, 100 tick, 100 pip, whatever you want to call it, move this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And
we sure did.
If you can see my screen, David, but price came down to the 38.35/40 weekly trading zone.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
turned up. I mean, risk is like, I mean, it either reverses here or it plows through it. So, I mean, not a whole lot of confusion there. It did
mm-hmm.
turn up, and over the course of about 4 hours, roughly, a little less, ran right up to this zone here at 39.40/45. So,
mm-hmm.
Greg, I'm pointing that out particularly for you because you mentioned that the weekly trading zones work very well on the ES, on the YM, and on the EC. Gold and crude, that's still a huge work in progress. But these kind of moves, we can find one of those almost every day on the euro. So
mm-hmm.
keep an eye on those
mm-hmm.
weekly zones,
mm-hmm.
Greg. So, yeah, I mean, that's a $1,250 move on one contract. So that's pretty decent.
Pretty
money.
Good, yeah.
Yeah. Did I take that
we
trade?
Have
no, I was in bed asleep. When I just wanted to point out, I didn't want anybody to think I was saying I took the trade because I didn't. I was in bed asleep when this happened, so.
Well, that's a pretty good trade. You put your head down, close your eyes, and you get a whole other day. That's a pretty good trade. So that's not bad. Nice trade. Anyway, we do have another setup potentially in the euro as well. We'll talk about it. I don't have it all together right now with the big move in the S&P, but I do want to cover a couple other markets that we talked about real quick here. If you give me just a moment here.
Yeah, as you're switching, popped in,
oh.
And he said, sorry, I got in late. What was David's target on the ES on the downside? Did he say 12.15, or did I mishear him? I think you said 1220, didn't you?
Well, the bigger target,
the
longer
bigger target,
term,
yeah,
this
not
is not
today.
For today.
Right.
But it's just a longer term target that if the market topped in February, which we'd forecast, it would the first larger decline would test or attempt a 115-point decline. And that's what we're this move probably qualifies, that the move is underway with the big news and everything else. But it can require into next month or whatever to complete that larger target. So whatever weekly bottom we put in here, we're going to treat that tentatively. We'll still use it to buy and to do other things. But the fact is that there's a good likelihood that lower prices will still be seen based upon, at least from our perspective, based upon that setup. You know, the market could bottom on the weekly and go right back up and test those highs, fail at them, and then come down. I mean, there's a lot of things that could happen in this before that bottom gets put in or that full larger decline gets put in. But that's the natural movement that we would see on the downside off of a February 2011 top, and we certainly do have that top in place. So that's how we're thinking. I do want to say also, there was one of your other fellows that listens that had mentioned the T-bills. I am watching the 30-year note, and we'll probably have a forecast on that later in the week as well, most likely. Gold is potentially very close to another signal, but we haven't given one out yet today, and so we'll just passing on that until we do give it out. There is something right here on gold, but this would be something sort of, honestly, sort of a private message thing, not because it's something special, but because it doesn't have the certainty to it that I like to give to the listeners, so that they, ultimately what we say ends up happening as many times as possible, so they have that confidence. I don't like to give out halfway things or things that we're willing to maybe play a little bit with that I don't want them to be subject to.
Okay.
So that's number one. But gold is very close to something, potentially even today. So keep that in mind, but we'll, like I said, we'll pass on that for the time being. The euro has a number of things going on in it, and this market, I'm going to wait before we have our next forecast on that. Let me just see here. There's one other thing. Okay, but here's the big one. Yesterday we talked about crude. Yesterday on the program I said I need, or I would like to see the market come down and make a new low that would satisfy me, and I gave you the price of the $97 level.
Yep, you sure did. I remember that, and we talked about it earlier this morning.
That would be the preferred price. Why? Because for the bottom that crude would make, which I forecast on March 15th, the natural price level for that bottom would be $9.70. And so that's why my preference was, hey, before, it starts to look like they're firming up here, but let's. So on April crude, they declined today and they made a low of, look at that, $9.70. And now, so that's step one. They did break to new lows on March 15th, A. B, they touched 970, that's two. And so if we close above 970 today, which I'm 99% sure they will, that's starting to be everything we need to have a really nice trade on the upside, I don't know, for $6,000 worth of profit. So that's the move that we're talking about. We're talking about this market going from basically 970 up to, not 970,
$97.
Thank you. You're looking at all these markets and you change your, so that would bring us up to approximately $103, something like that. That's a nice trade. That's a very, very worthwhile trade. So the big news for today, for me, is crude. The S&P, they're confirming the weekly. We still have some time to work that out. But for a trade that we can all start looking at. So my suggestions are, if you're using Dwayne's and Michael Bork's indicators, you can use those potentially under their instruction perhaps to get into a long position when they start to turn on somewhat of a, whatever time frame you like to use, and then hold the position for longer and bigger swings. Don't just get out, with all due respect to their system, don't get out with a nano trade. Hold this if you have the margin for it or the quite frankly, the stomach for it, you know, to manage it through the overnight position and be in it for a few days. If you haven't done that before and you are in a move that moves, you'll see it's a wonderful thing to be on the right side of the market because the energy goes in your favor, you know. So the biggest thing we have is that thing we talked about for the last, actually, I've mentioned it before, that for this market for crude, March 15th was the next important bottom. They've done it. We have two out of the three steps necessary to really confirm this. So I think it would be wise for people to consider long positions in crude today, or if they want to wait for more confirmation and not worry, you know, increase their probabilities and increase simultaneously their static risk, they can do that as well with crude. And, you know, a multi-day advance would be in order here after they bottom here out at these levels. So that's the big one. That's the one that I was excited about and I want to talk to people about if they have the interest in trading, especially if you can trade on the overnight and manage your risk on the overnight, always with a stop. Be willing to get back in. But remember, the stop has to be wider than usual. I know crude is an expensive market, but I believe, I'm not 100% sure, maybe Burke can tell us there's a mini for that market. Is there, Burke?
There is. Sorry, I had to pick up the other lines, but...
Okay.
There is a mini contract, and it's basically it's half the margin and half the tick size. So it's just $5 a point as opposed to $10.
Okay.
Margin's half of that. There is liquidity there. So what I'll do is when I send the email out, I'm going to put it in the form of a mini contract, just so you know everyone the risk is kind of compacted a little bit. And then if people choose to do the big ones, then, you know, that's fine. Everyone's risk tolerance is different.
Right. I do want to mention that I think it's important on this trade for the crude, April crude, for you to book some profits at around the $3 advance level. So, you know, $100 roughly, would be an initial place, even though that's not that far from where we are. We're at 98 right here, but that's, you know, on the large contract, that's a chunk of money. You want to book something initially there and then hold, and it could be multi-day. Under, here we go again, I always use this and everybody asks me about it. Okay, under normal conditions, here's what we'd be expecting. Normally, if the 15th acts properly, which so far, as I labeled out, you know, we did the 970, we're on the on-time day, et cetera, then we would look for at least a good portion of this advance to occur into March 17th. Okay? March 17th is very important for a number of reasons. Number one is that this market is going to have a pretty strong reversal on that date as a high. So whatever they do, here's a better way of saying it. I don't want to confuse people because I know we're already here, but I just want to throw this out there for the people that are a little more technical and can take this in and sort of tie it together. This is a better way of putting it. If on March 17th we're making a high, then I want you to be careful about holding for any longer on the long side at that point, wherever we are, because a pretty good sharp reversal. That cycle, we've done this before where certain cycles have sharp reversals associated with them. This March 17th is very important for that in this market. Now, we're not experts in crude, so this is a new market. We've not really taken a trade in crude yet. I've called one of them on the program, and it worked out, but we've not actually taken a trade. So, Bert, I don't have to message this to you. You already have this in your – you've got the whole thing pretty much framed up or laid out in your own mind, or no?
I was waiting for confirmation.
Okay.
I get a few zigzags here, then I'm going to shoot an email out.
Okay.
And what does that mean to people who shoot an email out? Those, actually, I guess with David's permission, if you are listening to the program, I guess if you send me your email address, how would you get that to me? If you call the desk, 866-928-3310. We'll put you on. I got a distribution list. David gave me some permission on for those, and then I'll ask if you're a subscriber to PageTrader or not. If you're a subscriber to it, and I'll send you some real live stuff. If it's if you're a non-subscriber, then I'll send delayed stuff. David, is that it?
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. And what we're doing with this right now is for the benefit of Dwayne's. I really love being on this program, and I love talking to people who have an interest in markets. That's my outlook for this, and I enjoy doing this. For people who are listeners to the show, we give out trades and forecasts as the best as we can do them for free. And we want people to take advantage of those. They don't have to buy anything from us or from Dwayne, for that matter, to do that. They just simply come to the program and we give it out. However, from Bert's perspective, he can only give those out, these message trades out, for a certain period of time to people, and then they have to subscribe to something from us in order to keep getting them. So really, the group of people that's on CFRN get an advantage that no one else is getting, because everyone else is paying for this one way or the other, either through a Messenger Pro subscription or through a soybean subscription or something, so that they can get these other trades. So I hope people are taking advantage of it. It's fun to listen. This is just fun. That's all I'm really doing this for. It's just for fun. There's a group that's interested. I want to show off. So honestly, it's like a magic trick. You know, it's like, you know, being a magician and showing a trick that you've taken only 20 years to learn. And you know, how do you put it? How could you have known the market was going to go to that level and all that stuff? And I enjoy putting it out there. And I also enjoy really knowing that people, if they take advantage of this properly and manage the risk and all the things we always talk about, you can make some decent money from trading in the markets. You don't. It doesn't always have to be you're just throwing money away and being mad and always getting it wrong or whatever. Even with a good forecast, if your head's in the wrong place, you can blow up 10 times over. And you guys know that. Everybody knows that. I know it for a fact. So it requires a bunch of things to be put together, but I like to give it out, and I appreciate Dwayne has had me on the show for 5 years. I appreciate that, and I want to be on the program for longer, and I feel like the value I bring to the show, part of that value is to try to help you trade better, and one of those things is to give these trades out. So other than that, Bert is sending signals to people, and then ultimately after about a couple of weeks, if they like it, then they buy something from us. We just want a little something to come in for the time and trouble it takes to put these together. And it does take some time and trouble. Somebody has to sit down and work these things out, and you know, so that we can all try to take advantage of them. So I'm excited about the crude one, though. This is good. We'll see how this works out. I do want to say one last time, we're new to the crude market. The forecast specifically is for a March 15th bottom at $9.70. A close above 970 would be the second step of this, or third step of this being tied together, and then we're looking for a multi-day advance. If by chance the 17th was a pullback rather than a high, I would love to buy that as well. So just in case, for those, this is the part I was going to say before. So let's say the market advanced and did $3 or $5 up and then pulled back and made a bottom on the 17th. That would be a really, really wonderful place to use reflected wave, if you have it, to mark the hourly or whatever time the bottom frame, time frame the bottom is in, and just buy that thing. Because you're tying in reflected wave on an hourly chart with a cycle bottom on the 17th that has normally sharp reversals. Got all kinds of good things going on there that could really pay off. For the time being, we would expect normally for the market to advance from here and try to go up into the 17th. And then at that date, you really want to seriously consider getting out so that the reversal off that date on the downside can be either shorted or taken advantage of. We'll talk about that as we get closer to it. But Bert, that's the whole setup right there. If you don't need me to text it to you. If you want, you can tell me later, and I will, but that's basically the whole deal. So that's the biggest one. That's what I'm excited about, and let me think if there's anything else of importance. Nope, I think that's about it for today. That's the big one. So, Dwayne, is anything? Okay. Are you still there, Dwayne? Or are
I'm
you...
right here. I'm just listening to you.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, well, I know. I'm hypnotic. We do have a... we do have a webinar today that I'd like to invite people to if they haven't been there before. We accidentally oversold the original Reflected Wave seminar, and so we're stuffing that with more people than we originally intended, but there's still a few extras that we just honestly don't have the room for, and I don't want to have that many in there. So we have a Reflected Wave seminar here in Las Vegas on June 4th and June 5th, and that's at the Mirage Hotel. We're having a webinar today at 1:30 Pacific time, 3:30 Chicago time, and I think, Bert, you'll be there as well? Well, that's great to know. He's just not there right now. But Bert will be there as well, I'm pretty sure. And we're going to go over what it is. If you have an interest in it, there's a link that they're going to give you in this on the show. And also, I think if you got the emails, you got the link, and you can click and read about it in an ad format where we advertise what it is. But it's a very, very useful, and for me, the very, very best turning point methodology I've ever seen. And it allows you to call turning point tops and bottoms in real time as they occur, not after the fact. And it really, even though it's advertised that it's just for the S&P, it can be used on just about any market. But we're going to show you the conditions that are necessary for you to put it to use in different markets, like gold and many other markets that we've used it in. The euro bottom that we called the other day for the 2.25 cent advance, that's a reflective wave daily bottom. So we tie that in all the time, and we use it on the hourly and shorter term time frames as well to make all kinds of different, put trades together with it with other indications. So it's a really excellent tool to tie your own understanding already of markets together with this tool. So take a look at that. It's not inexpensive. It's $69.95 for a two-day seminar, and but for that $69.95, you get lunch on both days. And just playing with you there a little bit, but it is. I am the one that's teaching it.
And those are those nitrogen-packed meals, correct?
No, they're not the nitrogen-packed meals. That's not why I bought those. But anyway, I will be the one that's teaching it, and I know the subject thoroughly. I've demonstrated reflected wave on this program literally hundreds of times over the 5 years, calling tops and bottoms on many, many different time frames. All the way down to 5-minute charts, all the way up to daily, weekly, and monthly, et cetera. The February or the quarterly top that we called for the first quarter of this year was reflective wave. All the top daily tops and bottoms that we called, all that stuff is reflective wave. So if you have an interest in that, I would like to encourage you to at least come to the webinar today at 1:30. In order to get the link to it, you go to pagetrader.com, click on the blog site part of it, and it'll give you the link to it, and you can go there and then ask questions of any kind if you have questions about what it is, how it works, and I'm going to demonstrate it as best as I can with recent markets, and so we'll go from there. It's one of, we talked about the tool belt concept. For me, it's one of the big tools that I have that helps confirm and really solidify that I can buy or sell at this particular level and at this particular time, because it's a timing technique. And it doesn't require you to count. It doesn't require you to do any math at all. It's completely math-free. It's Fibonacci-free. It's GAN-free. In fact, it's so free that it has no relationship to any turning point methodology published in the last 100 years. So it's not a rehash of what you already have. It's not a rehash of Fibonacci or any other type of technique that you've been using. It's new. It's different. It's a different way. And it uses an ordinary indicator, however, in order to call these turns. So it's not like software that you have to buy. It's already on your computer now. You just don't know it. I'm going to show you.
What was the guy's name on Fast Times at Ridgemont High who said, you told me there'd be no math? Spinoza, Spinelli. What was that guy's name?
That's great.
That was a classic scene. Anyway.
Yeah, that is a classic scene. Anyway, so I think that's everything we've got, Dwayne, for today. Just remember the crude. Let's watch that, and we'll see. I don't have anything for the S&P just yet other than the larger stuff, which is the weekly bottom we talked about.
So, Spicoli.
Oh, thanks,
Dan.
It was?
Yeah, Spicoli.
Yeah, that's a great movie. That's worth rewatching, that movie. That was a great movie.
It was. That was a classic 80s fare.
Anyway, so Dwayne, anything else from you or on your side? Or
no, just sitting here watching this thing play out. We're back to looking for dynamic resistance on the hourly chart.
Okay.
And once that comes into place, I'd like to think this market could meander its way up to 85, 86 today. But if we close back below this weekly zone, which is 69.70, then perhaps we got to go back down and test that bottom again. And now, if we go back down to test it again, then we're looking at that lower zone, which is way down at 44.45. So I know those are big ranges and big areas, but I mean we're kind of
don't we have a Fed announcement today
we do.
As well?
Yeah, we sure do.
One thing I would mention is that you know, in today's let's see, just in a couple hours from now, a natural position for the market, a retest of the 63 level on the downside. Dwayne, did you take up tap dancing, or is that
once again, that's
for
me.
You. Oh, Michael's tap dancing. Okay, I know you have a lot of skills. I just didn't realize tap dancing was one of them.
Yes, tap dancing is another.
The old soft shoe.
Anyway, in the late session today, you know, today's 7th hour, one of the natural positions, or the natural position for the market on the downside, would be a test of 63. So we might be looking at a short to that level. It's not an outright forecast. This is just a natural level. So we'll see a little bit later. But we don't have, other than that, we're just going to wait and see if we can get just an ordinary trade out of this without a big forecast today for the S&P. And Dwayne, I think that's everything we've got.
Okay. Very good. So, well, thank you so much.
Can I see if I can do the tap dance? Let me just try to say
this.
Is Michael there?
Yeah.
I'm here. Okay. Michael, just tell me if this is... Dwayne, you tell me if this sounds like it. Oh, you see, I don't have the clicking sound.
No. You're going to have to work on that. Yeah.
Yeah, I've got a quieter keyboard. All right.
All right, David. Thanks, buddy.
Okay, you guys. Thank you very much. I'll talk with you tomorrow. We'll put it all together.
Bye. All right, Michael, anything you want to add as we wrap this thing up?
No, we're just drifting sideways here as we approach the FOMC in an hour. I don't expect there's going to be much movement
10, 15,
until then.
11, 12. Is it 1 hour or 2 hours? 2 hours.
1 hour.
It's 2:15 Eastern. Right? Oh, yeah, you're right. Yep. So 1 hour, and...
seems as though it's just happy right here at this weekly trading zone, 69.70 right now, until whatever they're going to say. You know, I don't expect they're going to make any move or anything like that.
No, and I don't know of anything they can. They're in no position to do or say anything to. Really, I guess what I'm trying to say is the best they can do is what we expect them to do, and that's to do no harm.
Right.
Because their hands are kind of tied. I mean, they can't... There's nothing they can do to help this situation from a monetary standpoint. So,
Right.
As far as interest rates go anyway, because we're already... I don't know where the Bank of Japan was for many years. Zero. Now, we're going to get an hourly close here in 11 minutes. And on the hourly chart... You can see a green candle, and you can see a red candle. It's the chart I have up on the screen right now.
Yep.
And we're just right smack dab in the middle of that channel. So that seems kind of a proper place to be going into the Fed announcement. You can see that zone above at 85.86 and the zone below at 44.45. And I can say this with confidence before the week is out. We will either touch 85.86 or we will touch 44.45.
Yeah, and it could happen. I don't expect we're going to stay right where we are.
And it could happen before we talk again tomorrow.
It could. Absolutely.
All right, then. I guess if that's it, we'll let everybody go. And we'll be back again tomorrow morning. See all of the partners tomorrow morning in the live trading room. And the rest of you, we'll see you back here. Same time, same place.
Right.
Thanks, Michael.
Sounds good. Thanks, Ray.
All right, guys. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. I'll see you at the bell.
remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Pastor Dwayne Reeves, and his guests. This information should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed security broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions. You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Hey you, trader, why the sad face? Bad day in the market? Bad year in the markets? If you're like many other traders I've met recently, you're about to give up, go broke, or both. They say the definition of insanity is when people continue doing the same thing and expect different results. Sound like you? You've invested a lot of time and money in this trading business, right? Well, before you give up or go broke, let's just take off the crazy hat for a moment, okay? Forget the schemes and scams that litter the internet. That 80% win ratio in his dreams and your nightmares. The 89 consecutive winning trades guy. Liar, liar, pants on fire. It really comes down to what actually works. At the end of the day, who can you really trust on your way to Wall Street? Here's a thought. What if you could spend day after day with seasoned traders and market analysts? What if you could cut through the theory and simply see real-time trades and strategies that work? Debunk the myths and learn the ropes. Cut the risks by avoiding simple mistakes. How much do you think that would be worth in the long run? If you could literally shave years off the learning curve and keep tens of thousands of dollars in your account for the actual purpose of trading, would that be of great value to you? Would that be the definition of doing something different? Right now, CFRN has a limited time offer. I want to invite you to spend a full week with the CFRN team. I want you to test drive our online platform and feel the power of our custom indicators for an entire week. I want you to witness real trades with real money in real time. I want you to see a humble, ethical, and proven trading system that's simple and, more importantly, that works. You can pass this off as just another sales pitch. You can risk tens of thousands of dollars and several years of your life in an attempt to prove me wrong. Or you can come hang out with us for just 1 week. No strings attached, no credit card required. All we require is a simple desire to learn. Stop the insanity today. Test drive our platform and indicators for 1 full week. Trade with us live for 1 full week. No strings attached, no credit card required. If I'm wrong, there'll be plenty of time to give up or go broke next week. So act today. This is a limited time, sensitive offer. To get started, visit www.cfrn.net. That's www.cfrn.net. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.